may be the last session of Pathways to Health. We began this about 6 weeks ago. And we have talked about principles that bring us as Christians into health. God needs his people healthy so that they can work for his kingdom. You know, people who are hurting hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And there's a lot of Christians who are hurting. And there's a lot of churches that are in trouble because the congregants are not healthy. They're not healthy believers. And God wants us to be healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, every otherwise, so that we can do the work of his kingdom. And but there are steps that we need to take. There are principles that we need to incorporate into our lives. And we've been talking about those, and I don't have time to go back over all of them, but if you've not seen any of this series, you can go online, believerscommunity.org, and we post the messages every week. So go in and get caught up. Last week, we talked about forgiving, and that's a big one. Learning to let go of hurts, to let go and forgive people, let people go. In fact, we learned that if we don't forgive, it hurts us worse than it hurts the person that we don't forgive. In fact, it goes on to say that if we do not forgive, neither will our Father in heaven forgive us our trespasses. So there's a lot of believers, because they can't forgive, their sins are not being forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness. Does anybody else here need forgiveness in their life? One. Okay. So me and James needs forgiveness, and we're going to, you know, but contingent upon that is, are we willing to forgive? And we're, you know, if we're going to be like God, if we're going to be like Christ, and if we're going to call ourselves Christians, in the truest sense, Jesus is a forgiver. So we too must be a forgiver. And that's not always easy, because many times we have been hurt. We have been hurt. And legitimately, we have hard feelings about that, because it damages us. But part of that healing process is being able to let go of that hurt by letting that person go, by forgiving them. The second part of this that we're going to deal with today is, not only must we forgive others, we must make amends to the people that we have hurt. And when you start talking about this, it starts getting tense. I never will forget, I was 19 years old when I got saved. And Mama, stick your finger in your ears. You don't need to hear all this. but I worked at a grocery store. And before that time, I worked for him, and I smoked. And I would just help myself to cigarettes. I stole them, okay? I stole them. You don't like to say that, but I guess I felt like, since I worked there, that was part of my, I could do that. But really, it wasn't right. And I don't know how many packages of cigarettes that I stole. I don't like to say that, but I did. It's just, you know, I could justify it and say, you know, I worked there and it's part of the perks, and, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But listen, I stole them. I did not pay for them. And after I became a Christian, now, was I forgiven of that when I became a Christian? Yes, I was. But I really felt bad about what I had done. And I felt like that I needed to make amends. And I was this 19-year-old Christian, young Christian, and I didn't know how to do that. But I could not rest until I made amends. Now, back in those days, you could get a pack of cigarettes for 35 to 50 cents. So that's how long ago it's been. Long, long time ago. How much are they now, a pack? About $10. $5 a pack. Well, I wrote a letter. And I did it anonymously. But I felt like I needed to make amends. I felt like I needed to pay for those cigarettes that I stole. So I calculated that I probably stole about $5 worth, if I remember correctly. It could have been 10. I don't remember that. So I wrote a letter, and I said, you know, I used to work for you, and I stole cigarettes. And I have become a Christian, and God has forgiven me, but I felt like that I needed to make amends to you. And I didn't, if I remember correctly, I don't think I signed it, and I sent it to him. So I felt like that I needed to make amends for what I had done. But you know, many times when we think about that, making amends, because most of us have had people in our lives that we have hurt or offended or done wrong in some way. Now, when you forgive, it's for your healing. When you make amends, it's for your healing, but it also can restore relationships that have been broken because of something that you have done wrong. You say, well, dude, is that absolutely necessary? I really think it is, because it's part of your getting over stuff. Because a lot of our problems in our lives, the root of many of our hurts and many of our habits, or the things that mess us up in life, are relational in nature. You know, my cat or my dog has never hurt me. Now, they aggravate me, but they don't hurt me. People hurt people, and hurting people hurt people. So part of the healing process, not only is it good for me to make amends, but it might open a door for a reconciliation of a relationship that has been strained. I want to read today from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, "Guard against turning back from the grace of God. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up and causes many troubles with its poisons." And that's what happens to us in both situations, where we have unforgiveness in our hearts or where we have hurt other people. We don't get over those things because there are unresolved issues in our lives that we need to deal with. Now, this is... Can I say this? It's easy to become a Christian. You know why it's easy to become a Christian? Because it is a free gift of God's mercy, grace, and love. It's easy to become a Christian. But to walk out the Christian life that the way that the Bible talks about is very challenging to us. And there's a whole lot of God's people that never take the step of doing that. They're satisfied with just being a Christian. They never become Christ-like because they do not embrace the principles of Christianity and incorporate them into their lives and begin to walk them out so that they can truly grow in grace and in the love of God and become Christ-like. The reason that God saved you is not just so you could go to heaven. It's so that you could become like Him. See, Adam and Eve were created in God's likeness and God's image. But something happened when they fell. That image in them was marred. That image in them was eradicated. Even though they're still in the likeness of God, they were not anything like God. All you got to do is look at the generations after Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel. He wasn't made to do that. See, it was relational. It was a relational problem. And that's the way that it works out. When we're not right with God, when we're not where we need to be with God, we are hurt and we hurt. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. So when we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, God wants to start a process in us to bring us. And first of all, He has to change our hearts, but He has to also change our lifestyles. And so that we can become like Him and we can have life-giving lifestyles that is Christ-like in nature. And you know, listen, God never refuse to forgive someone that needed forgiveness. Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, Jesus never had to go and repair a relationship because he never broke a relationship. But you know what? You and I have. We have hurt people. So this thing of making amends is really a big thing. And it's really something that we need to look at as part of our recovery of health, of spiritual vitality and spiritual health. So it says that guard against turning back from the grace of God. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up and causes many to stumble or many troubles with its poison. So how do we make amends to those that we've hurt? Let me give you three things. Number one, make a list. Don't you like that? Make a list of those I've harmed and what I did. And you might say, well, I really can't think of anybody. Right off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. So let me give you some starters. Is there anybody that you owe a debt to that you haven't paid? Is there anybody that you've broken a promise to? Is there anybody that you've been guilty of over-controlling? A spouse, a kid, a friend? Is there anybody that you're overly possessive of? Is there anybody that you're hypercritical of? Is there anybody that you have verbally abused, physically abused, emotionally abused? Is there anybody that you haven't appreciated the way that you should have appreciated them? Have you been unfaithful? Have you lied? I could go on and on and on and on, but you get the ideal. So I want to encourage you, as you are working through what we're talking about, becoming healthy, is sit down in a quiet place and see if anybody comes to your mind that you need to make amends to. Maybe you've done some of those things too. Number two, think how you want to someone to make amends to you. When you're thinking about this amends process, you know, I realize that I have hurt this person. I've done this. I've lied to them. I've not kept my promises. I've not paid the bill that I owe them. I've cheated them in some way. And you think, okay, how would I want someone to make amends to me? It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, if somebody owed you a bill and didn't pay you, and they walked up and said, "Sorry, I didn't pay you." How many of you know that's not making amends? Is that the way that you would want somebody to do you? So you have to be willing to think about, how would I want someone to make amends to me? So consider three things. Number one, the right time. Ecclesiastes 8:6, there's a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. So you have to look for a right time, a right opportunity to make amends. Now, don't use that as an excuse never to do it. Okay, how many of you know that we're good at procrastination and making excuses about things that we need to do? We are. We can be horrible with that sometimes. And we say, well, you know, the right time has never come up. Are you looking for the right time? Okay, so honestly, there needs to be the right time. You don't want to just drop a bomb on someone. So you have to think, choose a time that would be good for them. You don't rush in and just say something and rush out, because you're truly probably not going to make amends. I mean, you might say it and get away because you don't want that confrontation. And there may be a confrontation there. But listen, we have to give God the opportunity to do a work, not only in our hearts, but in the person's heart that we might have offended. The next thing that we need to consider is the right attitude. Ephesians 4:15 says, Instead, by speaking the truth in a spirit of love, we must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. So we have to go in the right attitude. We have to go in an attitude of humility. I remember another time. Oh, man, I'm having to tell my sins today, and I don't like that. But when I was pastoring my first church down in South Arkansas, I was bivocational, and I actually worked for Arkla Gas. And we had an office there that there was a mixture of people. And I had an assistant manager there that I worked under who was prejudiced. He didn't like black people. And he made some racial remark one day in a meeting. And after it was over, I went down into the main office where we had a lady who was a black lady there. And I just said, "Do you know what so-and-so said?" To the group of ladies that were there. I said, "I can't believe he said that." And I said what he said. And I saw the look on that black lady's face. And I knew that I'd messed up. Now, she wasn't mad at me. She was upset at him. And she was hurt and humiliated by what he said, but it came out my mouth. I walked away from that place, and the Holy Spirit got all over me. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit just gets all over your case? And he won't leave you alone until you make it right. So I had to go back into that office in front of those ladies. I found the right time when no customers were in there. And I said to this girl's name was Judy. I said, "Judy, I owe you an apology. I repeated something that somebody said, and I saw that it bothered you and it hurt you. And I should not have said that. And I want to apologize to you." See, I had to go and make amends. See, this is not just something that you do one time in your life as a Christian. Because how many of you know that Christians aren't perfect? Does anybody, half of you know that. How many of you think Christians are perfect? Well, none. How many of you have run into some of those Christians who are not perfect? All of us have. And they can be difficult to deal with sometimes. Do you know that's why some people don't go to church? Because Christians aren't perfect. You know, they're going to have to get over that. You know, if you're going to be in relationships, you're going to find out that there's no perfect church. There's no, I know you don't know this because you have one. There's no perfect pastor. There is. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect spouse. There's no perfect children. You know, when you got people, you're dealing with people who are not perfect. And they make mistakes, and we do stupid stuff sometimes. So part of our healthy relationships is the willingness that when we mess up, we fess up. And you go to the person that you have offended or you have hurt or you have abused or you have cheated or you have lied to or you've been unfaithful to or whatever. And you make amends. You make it right. And you got to do it in the right attitude. Wow. Now, what does that look like? Let me give you some pointers. Don't try to justify your actions. Don't try to make some kind of lame excuse. You don't focus on their part. You focus only on your part. Because maybe they were part to blame too. But see, your job is not to straighten them out. You're trying to straighten you out. So you don't focus on their part. You focus on your part. Don't expect anything back. They may be receptive. They may not be receptive. They may forgive you. They may not forgive you. You're not doing it for that reason. And here's the last one. Make restitution when possible. Make restitution when possible. You can say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I don't deserve your forgiveness. Is there any way that I could make amends? Now, this is not easy. I know this is not easy. And if you're sitting there right now and there's a name that's popped up in your mind and you know the fear or the or whatever it is, the dread, or you think about doing that, it could be scary to do that. But listen, if we're going to walk by faith, we can't walk by fear. Is an amends a scriptural principle? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. Okay, here's the third consideration. Is it appropriate? There are times that it's not appropriate. Proverbs 12:8 says, if you are intelligent, you will be praised. If you are stupid, people will look down on you. So some situations are unwise to make contact with the person that you've hurt. So here's the thing. If going talking to someone would cause harm to that other person, then that would not be appropriate. So you have to determine, is this going to be an appropriate thing? Like going to a former boyfriend or girlfriend that's now married. That might get your head skinned. That might cause problems in that relationship. So in that case, you could write a letter that you never mail. Or you could do the old chair method, where you sit in a chair and you put a chair across from you that's empty. And you make amends that way. Now, that won't do the other person any good, but it'll do you good to get it out of you. I think it's important. You know, if you were involved in an affair and an innocent party could be hurt, that probably wouldn't be an appropriate thing to do. Okay. What you could do is you could tell a friend that you could trust. Say, listen, I need to get this off my chest. I can't go to that person, but I need to tell somebody this. And that would be appropriate. It's kind of going back to what we talked about. When we confess our faults, we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with God, and we're honest with the person that we can trust. These things are principles that will bring health into your life. Okay, the third thing that we want to talk about in this process is after we do this, we need to refocus our life. See, God doesn't want you to spend all of your time dealing with just your past. Now, there's some of your past that you're going to have to deal with, but you don't want to spend all your time looking backwards. We need to think about looking forward. But many times you can't look forward until you deal with what's behind you. When you deal with what's behind you, as you know to deal with it, then you can start looking forward and you can start growing forward and you can start becoming more Christ-like, and God can use you in a greater way. So I can refocus my life and I can set myself on doing God's will starting today. I can determine that I am going to do God's will, and I'm going to start today. See, as long as you focus on someone you resent, they control your life. They control your life. If you don't release them, you begin to resemble them. But the good news is that God can untangle the relational matters in your life. Now, Job 11:13. Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. So let's look at three things here that has to do with refocusing your life. Number one, put your heart right. Set your heart on God. Invite Jesus into your life. If you're a Christian, you've already done that, but invite Jesus daily to be involved in your life today. It's amazing how that we get up, we come to church, we worship God, we love God, we walk out of the church, we get up on Monday morning, and we go about our lives, and we never even think about inviting God, inviting Jesus to be a vital part of our lives today. Now, we may say, now, Jesus, bless me today. But do we say, Jesus, use me today? Guide me today. Holy Spirit, search me today. If there's something that I'm doing that's wrong, show me, lead me, guide me, direct me. See, this is part of the refocus of your life. Christianity, living the Christian life, is intentional. It's not accidental. It's not que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, it's not that at all. It's intentional. We have to do things on purpose. And part of the refocus is, you know, I'm going to put God today in the place that He needs to be. The next thing I need to do is reach out to God. Reach out to God. And that goes right along with what we were talking about. And the third thing is face the world again. Don't withdraw. Resume living life. See, it's amazing in people's past how they allow their lives to keep them from being what they should be. Maybe you were put down as a kid. Maybe in the family that you were raised in, that you were verbally abused or verbally put down, and that has shaped your life. And part of your forgiveness has to do with forgiving and releasing those who did those things to you. But you've got to come to this point also that you move forward and you don't look back to that and you become what God has designed you to be and do. See, we've all been affected by our circumstances. Our circumstances, the dumb things that we have chosen, the things that were done to us that we couldn't help, or some other circumstance of life that has helped shape who we are. But you cannot allow your past to prophesy your future. See, God has a design for your life, but as long as you live in your past, you will never have the future that God designs you to have. You'll never be healthy as God wants you to do. So today, as we get ready to close this service, I want us to bow and pray. We're not going to do prayer time today. We're going to pray over some stuff. And here's what I want you to challenge you to do. I want you to go home and sit down, and I want you to ask God, are there people in my life that I have hurt? Go through this process. And go, if there is, take the steps to make the amends that you need to make in your life. This will be part of your healing process that will cause you to be healthy and whole. We can't allow unresolved issues in our lives. We can't afford to do that. Either whether we need to forgive or where we need to ask for forgiveness. There were some other things I did in my life. And there were some other things that people that I needed to make amends to, but I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they went. I don't know at that point if they were even still alive. So I couldn't do that. But That became a thing between me and God. If there is a situation that I could do it, then I need to do it. If it's a situation that I can't do it, then there's nothing I can do about that. But I can still pray over it. I can still write it down, write a letter, whatever I need to do to get that out of my heart and get that out of my life. Even though, see, listen, the problem between you and God is not the problem. The problem is in here. See, God has already forgiven you of those things, but until you start operating the principles of forgiveness and amends, you're truly not going to get over that in your own heart, in your own life. You're not going to grow as a believer the way that you're supposed to grow as a believer. I know this is tough stuff. People say that church is an easy believe church. Oh, yeah. Well, strap this one on and wear it a while and see how easy it is. It's not easy. It's easy to become a Christian, but it's not easy to live the Christian life if you do it right. So I want to pray. And as we pray today, maybe a name, maybe a picture will pop into your mind of somebody that you have hurt and that you need to make amends to. If that is, it will be up to you to decide what you're going to do with that. I've done my part. I've shared the principle with you. And you know, you can have good intentions going out here, but you have to resolve that you're going to take the steps to make things right. See, if this is not where it needs to be, then this is affected. And the best way to keep this where it needs to be is to keep this where it needs to be. Okay? And it's easy to try to hide from these kind of things. Okay, let's pray. Father, this has been difficult for me to talk about this today. Lord, this is not easy stuff. But Lord, we can't deny that this is in your Bible. This is in your word. And Lord, we don't want to deal with it. We don't look forward to dealing with it. But God, would you strengthen us so that we can honestly take this look into our lives?